Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
That's it. This is not a spectator sport here. You know, sit there and come to church and watch some preacher. That's not the way it is. You got to get involved in this. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. This is part number three. Now, let me make a statement about this. It's very important for you to hear. You can hear the voice of God when you read the Bible, and you see the voice of God when it's written in your Bible. That's the inspiration of God. But there's a different kind of a voice we're talking about, that God speaks, that he settles the issues on the inside of your heart about things. He gives you insight on how to do life and gives you insight on how to be the Christian that God wants you to be. That God can answer questions about your home and your family. Answer questions about your job, you know, your finances. Answer questions about the future. God wants to take you to a wonderful place. God loves you so much, and like any parent, you want your children to prosper. And I'm not talking about just money in your pocket, even though that's not excluding that. It also includes that. Prosper to me is everything else. Home, family, children, finances, dream, vision, a destiny, a purpose for why you are here on the earth. That's real prosperity. And God wants to bring you into your own personal promised land and take you to that place where you are blessed, so you could be a witness to a lost and dying world that is looking for answers, when in fact you have the answers. And so God wants to not only speak to you when you're reading your Bible, but he also wants to speak to you in the recesses and the depths of your heart that'll change the reason and purpose of what we're talking about. This is very important for you to not just stay in that little box that we have been in, but to reach out and understand that God wants to speak to you, Old Testament as well as New Testament. I'll show you that in just a moment. It's not some surprise. It's a surprise to some people, but God wants to speak to you. God wants to have a relationship with you where he can talk to you and you talk to him. You know, sometimes we pray, and that's great, we're talking to God, but part of prayer is when you listen and God speaks to you. And like I said the last service, you tell me what's more important, me talking to God or God talking to me. And therefore, we spend a lot of time talking to God, very little time listening for his voice that settles the issue of our life. So today, I don't want you to fall asleep. I don't want you to daydream. I want you to concentrate for the next 30 minutes and let God speak to you about one of the most important facets of your life that most of you have missed, and why you're not prosperous or successful in the areas of your life, because obviously maybe God's been speaking to you and you haven't really been listening the right way and you don't have the voice of the Lord down. So listen closely and watch what God has to say for you. It's really important. By the way, the church you're in right now, the seats you're sitting in, the carpets down the aisle, the color of the tile in the bathrooms and on the foyer, the, if you will, that angel outside holding a warrior, the courtyard, the children's ministry, youth ministry, was all built by a word from God, not built with money, not built, by the way, because we had ability to do it, not built because we just had a desire. It was built because somebody received something from God that settled the issue, and then God could go to work doing all of the other things to get it all built before us so that we could be in this place today. That's how important it is, and that's exact illustration about your life and about your future. Too many of us go through life not hearing from God. And that's why we're talking this scripture. This is part number three, and our pastor, Pastor Dan, has done a brilliant job of bringing us part number one and part number two. If you haven't got them, you ought to get them. It is wonderful. May I read to you out of verse number 25 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. So get your Bible out and go with me. The very first word, can you see it on the overhead? The very first word is the word what?
See.
Say it again.
See.
The word was what?
See.
See. Everybody say the word see. When I asked you to say, what is the word, and you see it, you say it. And so let's try this one more time. Everybody say, what's the first word up there?
See.
Okay, that really is saying something. That says, pay attention. Make sure that what I'm about to say, you get. That's not just a word that we blow over and forget about. Here's God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, making a statement. And it starts off, and we could probably teach an hour just on that one word. See, make sure. Make sure you don't just blow through this thing and not get it. Make sure that you understand what's being said and apply it. Make sure that you start to learn to live your life this way. And he says, see, that you do not refuse. See the word refuse, if you got that in your Bible, circle it. It means make light of. It really refers to, and I love this, it really means to ignore. And it says these words, do not ignore, make light of him. See the capital H in the word him, speaking of God. And what does he do? Who speaks. Not just the written word. I thank God for the written word. The written word is our guide to make sure that what we heard, we don't go off track. I want you to know that I substantiate everything I hear from God and back it up with the written word. If it's not written in the word of God, then guess what? It's probably not from God. God's not going to tell me something that's contrary to his word. Does anybody get that? He says, don't refuse, don't ignore, don't make light of him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who's the they? Those in the past, those in the Old Testament, those the times of Moses, those when God spoke, they didn't want to do this. They didn't want to get it. Listen to this. And they who refused, who made light of or ignored him who was speaking, watch this, from the on the earth, much more shall you not escape if you turn away from him who speaks from heaven. In other words, God wants to say something. Listen, can I just say something? Everybody that's in here whose heart's beating, you have a destiny and you have a purpose. If you're in this room right now and you're alive, and if you're not, stay afterwards, our prayer teams will raise you from the dead. But I'm here to tell you, if you are alive and in this room, you have a purpose for being here on the planet. You have a destiny. There's a reason why God got you saved and you stayed and didn't just rapture you out of here and take you to heaven. There's a job you have to do. God wants to bless your life, and you're going to need, in order for that to happen, you're going to need to know that he from heaven speaks to you. And know the difference between your feelings, your thinking, your want, your desires, and what is really his word. Is anybody listening? It's really important for you to get that. Verse number 26, just a verse that's tagged onto that and amplifies it. Whose voice, speaking of God, then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Let me tell you something. You don't want to mess with God. If God says he wants to speak from heaven and not only shake the earth, but shake heaven, I want to be somebody who's attentive and be able to hear what he has to say. God gave me three things. He gave me 30 things. But I got three of them that he outlined for me to give to you. Is that all right? I mean, I have 30 things, but I've only got three. Because if I started to give you 30 things, some of you could handle two, maybe three. Four, forget it, I've lost you. So I'm smart enough to know, and so is God, that you have the ability to only hear for just a little while. So how about giving God about 30 minutes, and let's let him speak to us three things. Two First two things are incredibly simple. It's like so simple your brain will jump out of your mouth, slap your brain. I mean, it's just that simple. The third one is going to be a little bit more difficult because we're going to go into something that you never probably ever heard in your entire life in church, and you probably never ever thought about it. And that's where the rubber meets the road for your future. That's how this church that you're sitting in right now got built. That's how everybody that ever heard from God is successful. This is what you're going to talk about and teach you today how to get to this place where God wants to speak to you and you can hear His voice. Are you hearing me? Everything is going to start with in Him. Excuse me, to hear. Not in Him. To hear. To hear this. To hear that. To hear this. In order for you to hear is what I'm saying. To hear. Here's number one. To hear, we must want to hear. Oh my goodness, that's like so profound, Pastor. I think I just don't know if I can get that one. Oh, you'd be surprised how many people in this room right now don't want to hear from God. Some of you are half asleep, daydreaming, and thinking about lunch. You don't want to hear from God. Some of you just came because somebody dragged you here. You don't want to hear from God. Some of you are already turned off because you don't like the old man. You don't want to hear from God. See, there's a whole bunch of people in here that don't want to hear from God. Can I talk to you something? In order to hear from God, you've got to want to hear from God. God does not want to speak to people who don't want to hear from Him. Let me try it again, because I should have gotten a bigger clap than that. God doesn't want to hear from people who don't want to hear from Him. You know it's true. The other day, Pastor Jessica was being introduced to a guy in the office. She's really crazy thing. She told me the story. She's a young guy, you know, and they're introduced, and the guy was texting her, reading his emails, had his phone in his hand. And he had his head down. He was introduced. This is my wife, or this is my pastor, Jessica. And he looked up at Jessica, and he says, "No, nice to meet you." Well, I want you to know something. I'm grateful that I wasn't the guy there. He'd have said that, I'd have snatched that phone right out. You don't care about nice stuff. Don't give me that lie in church. Because you're no way in the world that you're going to sit there and look at your phone. What you're saying is you really don't give a flip about me. And whoever just texts you something, that's more important than even meeting me. And it's the same way, and I don't mean to be rude, but let me tell you something. If you don't show that you are interested in people listening to you, are hearing from you, are you speaking to them? Can I tell you something? People will stop speaking to you. Yeah. Have you ever been around somebody that doesn't give a flip about you and looks the other way when you're talking? Or have you ever talked to somebody and you can tell when they're turned off, their eyes go somewhere else, and you know you're talking and they ain't listening? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. It's like, oh, why do I even talk? I'm just going to shut up. How about this? Have you ever talked to somebody and somebody they interrupt before you even have a chance to finish your sentence? Anybody ever been there? You, what do? Usually some people keep on doing. Not me, man. I just keep talking. But I don't like it. Eventually I'll shut up. God didn't want to talk to you if you don't want to listen. And this is a very common problem in Christianity. From the Old Testament to New Testament, God knows the character of human beings, all of us. And He knows that we don't want to make the effort to listen. Think about it. In the time of Moses, God delivers the children of Israel from the bondage of the Egyptians. See, they're out in the wilderness. Moses goes to the mountain, comes back down. God speaks to the whole congregation. They freak out. They go to Moses and they say to Moses, "Moses, we don't want you to have God talk to us anymore. We want you to talk to God. Don't." And then you tell us what God says. We can't handle it when God says. People don't want to hear from God. And it's not any different in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Look at Jeremiah just for a second. Pop up Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse number 31. Watch, 6th chapter, verse number 10. Watch this. "To whom shall I speak and give warning?" Did we not just get a warning? In fact, verse number 25 is a warning verse that, man, if you ignore what God says and you don't listen to what God says to you, you're never going to do anything except what your flesh tells you. And if you do just what your flesh tells you, then you're going to end up as a result of what your flesh wants instead of what God wants, and you're going to come up way short. And here's this warning in verse number 25. You know, warnings are not bad in the Bible. They're wonderful. Warnings tell you about what to do not to, and what not to do. If I was to warn you about something, like verse 25 warns us from God of the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that's a warning. He says this, if I was to warn you of something that would harm you and devastate you in the future, and you saw that it came to pass, but because you were warned, you had to get away, you got away from it, and it didn't hurt you, you would thank me. It would, the warning would become a good thing. And when you find warnings in the Bible, they're not a bad thing. They're a good thing to keep us from falling into a pit. And he comes along and he says, and whom shall I speak and give warning? In other words, there's nobody listening. Why aren't they listening? That they may hear. He says, why should I, who can I give this and speak this warning to that they shall hear? Nobody's here to hear. Indeed, their ears are uncircumcised. Do you know what that means, uncircumcised? The word circumcision in the Bible refers to cutting away of the flesh. Did you know that's why God had the children of Israel, they all got circumcised, because there was making a statement, get out of the flesh, get in the spirit. It cuts away the flesh, and anything that is uncircumcised is still in the natural, not in the spiritual. And now he comes along, he says, their ears are uncircumcised. Their ears are only tuned into what the natural man says, only turned into what the people say, only turned on to what their feelings are, what their desires are, has nothing whatsoever to do with God. So who can I talk to? Who will listen to me? They have uncircumcised ears. They are people that are only in tune with their flesh. Wow. And he comes along and he says, and they did not give heed. In other words, they paid no attention to it. Remember this? He says, when you ignore it or you make light of it, that is what? Refusing what God speaks from heaven? And then he comes along and he makes this statement, behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. In other words, it's not important. It's made light of. It's ignored. And he says, and they have no delight in it. In other words, they're not happy to get it. They don't want to get it. You got to want to get this. That's Old Testament. Watch this New Testament. Matthew, 13th chapter. I think we'll start in verse 13. I don't know, guys got it? He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Stop right there. His disciples come to Jesus. This is what they said to Jesus, and this is their answer. Why do you speak to these people in parables? That's a story, a spiritual story that gives them a truth. And he says, well, because they don't see, nor do they hear. They don't hear, nor do they understand. So I give them a simple story. You know something? Why do they get the simple story? Because they didn't understand. And he makes a statement out of the next verse, verse 14. He starts to quote from Isaiah the prophet. And he makes this statement about Isaiah the prophet. In fact, seeing you will see and not perceive. But watch this in verse number 15. Go to verse 15. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. What grew dull? Oh, that's good, but only a few of you got it. What grew dull? No. That's a little bit more, but not good enough. What grew dull? Okay, the hearts grew dull. Why? Because they're fleshly, not tuned into the spirit. Most of you will live your life fleshly, not tuned into the spirit, if you don't get a hold of what's being said and taught to you today. And then you're going to live less than what you could have lived at the end of your life. You could have been blessed. You could have been happy. You could have been fulfilled. You could have had a destiny. You could have had a purpose. Oh, no, you're going to live less than that and be angry at God. But it isn't God's fault, because somebody telling you today that you need to listen to God. Somebody hear me. They grew dull. Watch this. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes are closed, hard of hearing. Verse, give me the B part. Least they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, Lest they should understand with their
hearts.
Understand with their
hearts.
Watch this. And turn. That's what God wants you to do. Get into His flow instead of your flow. Turn that they should be healed them. God wants to heal every area of your life. God wants to make it abundant. God wants to bless you. But guess what can't happen? Because we're so in tune to the natural, we forget the spiritual. Is anybody listening? So that's an illustration. That's the first thing we got to understand. We got to really want this. Most people don't. You got to really want this. I'm going to tell you a little story if I could. I really wanted to hear from God. Number one, I'll be honest with you. When I first started pastoring, I wasn't a very good reader. Nothing I read in the Bible made any sense. And I found myself saying, God, what are you saying? I had to, because I was standing in front of thousands of people. I had to hear from Him. I didn't hear from some man. I didn't hear from somebody's book. I had to hear from Him. And I had to get to a place where I desired every day. You know, when I was pastoring this church, we had 11 services a week. Sometimes I would preach 350, 400 times a year. Let me tell you something, funny friends. The average pastor in America preaches 50 times a year. I'm preaching 400 times, 350 to 400 times a year. I had to hear from God, and then I had to hear from God again later. Then I had to hear from God the next morning. And I desperately wanted to hear from God. Sometimes I'd only get one verse, but there was something on the inside of me. I knew that one verse, all I needed from God, and everything was okay, and God had spoken. And I went, and God ministered, God did great things. You got to want this. Number two. Listen to this, and this is so important, to hear. Remember how we talked about to hear? Number one is you don't want to hear. Number two, I love this. To hear, we must recognize God's word as wisdom. Now you gotta hear what I just said. You're gonna have to recognize God's word, whether it's written or whether you get it from God and you know it's God, as wisdom. And a lot of people don't do that. You know why? Because God's word oftentimes is contrary to what you're thinking, what you want, and what your desire is. And you got to go with what God says more than what you feel. Is anybody listening to me? Because if you don't recognize God's word as the ultimate wisdom, you're going to follow your own feelings instead of God and miss the plan of God for your life. End up dying, burying you as a Christian, going to heaven, and have nothing that you could have had that God wanted for you. Because why? You didn't see what God speaks, whether it be written or whether He spoke it in the recesses of your heart and it was settled there. Guess what? You didn't see it as something invaluable and important. And without it, my friends, it doesn't work. Let me give you an illustration of that. I did not want to be a pastor. I couldn't think of anything that I didn't understand more than being a pastor. I hated the idea of being a pastor. I thought pastors were sissies and people who couldn't get real jobs. That's what I thought of pastors. And I thought they were just pushed around by what was called a board that told them what to do, and when they got old, they'd throw them away and nobody'd take care of them. Who wants that kind of a life? God, I'm a businessman. Me and Deborah prayed, let us make money and let us fund the gospel. Let us give money to the gospel. Let's take care of the poor, give money to whoever needs the money so they can build the kingdom of God. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. I wanted it so bad, I still feel it inside of me today. But God said, I want you to be a pastor. And I want you to be a good pastor. And because we heard His word as wisdom, this church is here today. Churches all over the world are affected by this. There's hardly a week gone by that I don't get a text or an email from a church somewhere that I don't even know of, who their entire existence has changed because of what takes place in this church. All around the entire world has been affected and touched by this church. Oh my God, if I had said no to God's wisdom and said yes to my own worldly feelings and my own wisdom, I would never have accomplished what I feel to be the best life anybody could ever have now. I'm privileged to do it. That's why we've got to see that when God speaks to us, oftentimes it's contrary to what we want, but he knows what's best, and it's got to be considered wisdom. It may feel like a rebuke. It may feel like a warning. It may feel like something you don't want to do, but you do it because you know that you know that you know this is what God would have for you, and leave the results up to him. I love this, if you will. Let's go to Proverbs and let's check it out. 10th chapter, or 15th chapter, verse 31. The ears that hear the rebuke of life, that's God's word oftentimes, will abide among the wise. We become people of great godly wisdom when we hear from the Lord. Is anybody listening to me today? So here's what we've done to hear. Number one, we've got to want this. Number two, we're going to have to really respect it and place a value on God's word and recognize his wisdom. But number three is different. It's simple, but it's complex. And I need you to listen in order for your life to change. You can do this. Because I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody's ever taught this that I know of. There probably many people have. God has a lot of great people in the body of Christ. Number three, to hear. We must prepare to hear. Prepare to hear. When I was a baseball player, I prepared. I was a professional baseball player with a team called the Kansas City Athletics. You know them as the Oakland Athletics. And I played 3 years of professional baseball. I was wild about baseball as a young 18, 17, 18, 19-year-old boy playing professional baseball. I was a pitcher in their farm leagues. They'd bring me up at the end of the year, and I'd travel with the major league teams, wear the uniform, pitch batting practice, and man, I was in heaven. I couldn't believe it. It's what my goal was in life, is to be a professional baseball player. But I wasn't good enough, to be honest with you. That's a different level, a different ability. But what I had was farm level ability, never could get past that. But I want you to know something. What I did is I prepared every game. A lot of guys that were talented and gifted, they'd go out and get bombed and drunk the night before and party until 4 a.m, go to the ball game the next day and rip home runs because they were talented and gifted. Me, I couldn't afford to do that. I had to prepare the day before. I ate certain foods, I got certain rest, number of hours. I had my mind working, so I was functioning well. I would talk to people, I wouldn't over-exercise or over. I was prepared to play that game. And what I learned over the years is in order for me to hear from God, in order for you to hear from God, we don't prepare ourselves. We don't prepare ourselves if you're a minister. New young ministers don't prepare themselves like we used to prepare ourselves by setting ourselves aside. And we need to prepare ourselves to even hear the word of God. If you think you're going to go out and party on Saturday night and come to church and get something from God and hear the word of God and expect to get it clearly revelation from God, you're mistaken. What we need to do is develop something inside of us. There's a few things we need to develop. Here's number one, sensitivity. In order for me to prepare, I need to develop my sensitivity to the things of God. I did not even realize what was happening in my life as a young preacher. I didn't realize that because I had such a burdensome act on me, a demand on me, and calling on me to do what I was doing, that I was literally preparing myself all the time. I had to hear from God. I didn't have to hear from Deborah. I didn't have to hear from other people. I had to hear from God. I'll explain what that's like in just a few moments. And because I did that, I became incredibly sensitive to what God says, not what I think, what I feel, or what other people told me. In fact, oftentimes people that were in the ministry looked at me as if I was an outcast because I did things differently than them. They would call me on the phone and say, you want to preach this conference, where everybody else would say, yes, I'll come. After all, why not? There's 35,000 people in attendance in a stadium. I'll come and preach. Not me. I would say, let me have time to seek God. They'd say, what? Seek God. Forget it, man. If you don't know if you can come or not, I'll find somebody else. And they said, oh, you take your time all you want. Never call me back, time and time again, because I wanted to seek the voice of the Lord. I don't want to go preach 35,000 people on my own energy, on my own inside. I want to go with God behind me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you have to develop a sensitivity to the ministry, the sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. So as you're speaking, you even are so sensitive that it's God speaking through you, because he's telling you what to say at that very moment to the people. If you don't do that, you're missing out on things. Deborah and I, for an example, as husband and wife, we became sensitive to each other. She knows my language. She knows when she makes a request and how I answer it, whether I'm on board or off or don't like it or do like it. I can say the right thing, but she knows I don't really mean that. Does any husband in here know what we're talking about? How about this? She can read not only my words, but she can read my body language. It says something too. Does any husband say amen? Do we know what we're talking about here, men? The women know us. Why? Because we live with them. They know when we're good. We know when we're bad. They know when we agree. We know when we're happy. We know when we're not happy. We know when they know when we're mad. They know when they're angry. Oh my goodness. They know us. Why? Because they become sensitive to us. To become sensitive, you need to be in church. In church, I learned the voice of God. In church, I didn't come to church to get penance for God. I didn't come because, look at me, God, I'm in church this week, bless me. I came to church because he's God. I came to church because he's worthy to come and raise my hands and my heart to my life. He's worthy to listen to his word. I came to church because it was a privilege to hear God speak from his word to us. And I learned to be sensitive with his word in church. One of the things that a lot of people forget is that sometimes I'm in the back door. And over the years, there's people that have come up to me. And they start to tell me off. I'm greeting people one after another. You know what it's like. Hey, God bless you. Good to see you. I love you. Hey, good to see you, bro. Great day. Hope you have a great day. Love you. I'm saying goodbye to people, you know. I just got through ministry, and here comes somebody I don't know. I know they don't go to this church, and they stick their finger in my face and tell me how to do church or what I should have said and how I should have acted. Can I tell you something? I used to say, hey, why don't you just go find another church? I really don't give a flip what you have. I'm, you know, has anybody realized that Pastor Jim can get real rude? If you believe that at times, would you raise your hand? Okay, all of you that have your hands raised, you gotta pray for me. But I get real rude, you know, and I decided I don't want to be rude anymore, so I'm gonna give him a verse. And I'd write down this verse. I'd say, hey, I want you to see this verse because it's really important. Ecclesiastes 5:1, let me put it on the overhead. We're talking about going to church, becoming sensitive. Watch this. Walk prudently, that's wisely and smart. Walk prudently and wise and smart when you go into the house of God. And draw near to hear. Everybody say, draw near.
Draw near.
No, everybody say, draw near.
Draw near.
To hear.
To hear.
One more time. Draw near.
Draw near.
To hear.
To hear.
Get this? God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Listen, I can't be very sensitive to Deborah's needs if I'm away from her. She can't be very sensitive to my needs if I'm away from her. If I'm away from God, don't expect to hear from God. So those of you who come to church once in a while, can I tell you something? The worst thing you could do for yourself, because you never become sensitive to the voice that we're talking about that wants to speak into your life. Is anybody listening? He says this, rather than to give sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Sometimes we come into church, we're here to correct everybody. Since when have you got the ministry of correction? I thought that was a Holy Ghost. You know what I'm talking about. And so I just give them that verse. Now I have to admit, I've never seen one of them ever come back after they read the verse, but I don't give a flip. Pastor Dan's now the pastor. So here we see the developing sensitivity in the church, the house of God, drawing near to hear. Anytime I can do that, that's what this is all about. The other thing that I want to talk to you about is not only sensitivity, but this is something very important, is solitude. The lost art of solitude, where you just get alone with God. Did you know the number one place that most Christians hear the voice of God? You will never believe it. You say, it's gotta be church. No. Well, it's gotta be while they're singing a song in their car driving to work. No. The number one place that people hear the voice of God as Christians is in the shower. I wouldn't raise my hand and admit that, Robin. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on, raise your hand. Do you know what I'm talking about? In the shower, you just get out there and say, God, talk to me in the shower. Why? Because hopefully you got three walls around you and a glass door. You know, and there's a hot water coming down and your brain's turned off and you're not thinking of anything. You're just chilling. And then God speaks to you. Boom. Can I tell you something? It's a better place to hear from God wherever you're at because you've become sensitive to God. And becoming sensitive to God is really important if you take time to get alone with God and talk to God. Walk with God, talk with God, hear what he has to say. Listen to the words of Jesus, what they said about Jesus. Just pop up that verse, if you would, please. In Matthew, I know, Luke, the fifth chapter. Boy, I'm blowing all the verses today. So he himself often withdrew, speaking of Jesus, into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus is smart enough, even though the multitudes around him, great ministry before him, busy can be, spent time with God. The words he says are this, the words that I speak are not mine, but he that said. Why? Because he heard from God. When you see me, you see the Father. Oh my goodness, they were sensitive to each other. You can be that way too, but it's going to take solitude. Stop and think about David. King David, the greatest king Israel has ever known. He doubles the size of Israel. He brings commerce into Israel. People get rich because the money is flowing in Israel like never before. He's the greatest king Israel has ever had to this very day. From David's bloodline comes Jesus. Oh my goodness, that's why David's house is the eternal kingdom, because Jesus took it from his bloodline and made it into eternity, the kingdom. Oh my goodness, David, how amazing. Here's a question. How did he become such a great king? Did he go to king's school? There wasn't a king school. There was only one king before him. His name was Saul, and he was bad. Listen to this. Did he go to seminary? Did he read the scripture? Didn't have it. He's on the hills of Judea with his father's sheep in a boring job of being a sheep herder, in a monotonous job and routines, and he's doing what? He is singing songs to God, and God gives him the inspiration that we know many of them were written on the hills of Judea. He was hearing from God, and many of them are our psalms that we read today in the Bible. How did he become the greatest king? He learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. Third thing I want to talk to you about is this. How do you know it's God, not you, your friends, your relatives? And here's the great word I want to use. Because we use sensitivity, We use solitude. Here's the last one, and this is the most important. Settling. There's something different when God speaks that settles the question in your heart. It's as if the word comes in and it's mixed with a depth and a faith and a settling on the inside of you that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know it's God. This verse pops out as one of the great verses in the Bible, Colossians 3:15. And it says these words, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Rule means to tell you where to go and what to do. It tells you how to act, what to be, and how to do it. Rule means to govern you completely. And the word peace is a word that is literally the wrong evaluation of the word peace. Because peace doesn't describe what happens. Peace you can get from position of comfort. I can get comfort from my own desires and my own will and my own plans and my own thinking. And when they get to a place where that meets my needs, I can have peace. So he's not talking about this. What he's talking about is a settling. Now watch this, watch this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Jesus says, "I'll give you peace, peace that surpasses human understanding." Peace that we understand is not what's being expressed here. The peace that he's talking about here goes way beyond that word. The only reason they use the word peace here, because there is no other words for the settling that's on the inside that you know that you know you've just heard from God. When I retired, I said to Deborah, "I want to go back in the business world and fund the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's too many pastors out there hurting, and I want to help them pay their bills and take care of them. I always wanted to do that." And I started a business. I told everybody in my business, I said, "Listen, I want you to know something. I haven't heard from God, but I'm starting this business because logically it's a multi-billion dollar business. We'll make billions of dollars on this business." And I gathered my team together, but I kept telling them, "I'm not getting on board full time until I hear that settling in my heart from God that this is what he wants me to do. I know it too well after all the years of experience to avoid it now and to ignore it now and to make light of it now." And I told them every week in a meeting, we've progressed in the business. 6 months goes by. My share of the profits was $650,000 clear in 6 months. Of course, in the minds of everybody, we would all say, "Now that's God." But it wasn't God. I had not heard that settling that we're talking about. Put that verse up there, keep it up there for me, please. Colossians 3:15. I have not heard the settling in my heart. I couldn't do it. Week went by, 650, 6 months, $650,000. I talked to God, I hear nothing. "God, I want you to confirm that this is what you want me to do. I know you speak to me enough that I could hear that. Just one word from you and I'm gonna go full bore into this and we're gonna pay off this and pay off that and help these people and do these things. And God, I know you will do this for me. Just one word, God." Week after week, month after month after month, not one word. Then I said to God, "God, I need to hear this. I've got this $650,000. What do you want me to do with it?" He says, "What do you want to do with it?" I said, "I want to keep it." "Of course, I'm not stupid. That's a lot of money. I want to keep it." Here's what God said to me. "Do with it what you want." And I said, "Okay, what I want is what you want. I'm past what I want. That died a long time ago. I want what you want." Nothing. "God, I want what you want." Nothing. "God, I'm going to give this back." And I heard the settling in my heart. I took all of my customers and I gave the whole $650,000 back to every single customer. They couldn't believe it. They never had anybody treat them that way before. Because it doesn't matter about the money. it's more important to get the voice of the Lord. That's worth a whole lot more than the material things and money. Didn't matter about the money in building this church, because I had gotten a word from God, and so did Deborah. We were settled. It was settled on the inside of us. How are we going to come up with that much money from people from San Bernardino? They don't have any money. How are we going to do this, God? God made a way, because he had settled it in the inside of somebody. And that settling was mixed with faith. And we just knew. We didn't know how. Stop thinking about how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. It just happened. Recently, Debbie and I were trying the last few months to make an investment. We kept struggling. In fact, we had contention in our house, to be honest with you, about the investment itself. We were not getting along. I wanted this, she wanted that. I didn't like this, she liked it, I didn't like it. Finally, after a while, I went to God and said, God, she's a woman of God. The woman has taught Proverbs 31 too many times, Lord, and she's ready to go out and make business happen. She knows how to do it. She's smart. She knows how to do it. I'm just going to submit. So I said, let's go look at the investment again. So we went to look at the investment. I walked through it. We had already made an offer on it that was accepted. I said to her, I said, Deborah, I am in agreement with you. It's a good investment. I'm on board. But I knew deep down inside of my heart, I hadn't personally. Deborah may have heard, but I personally hadn't had a settlement on the inside. I no sooner said that when she said, hey, this other investment came up back on the market. Let's go take a look at that. We ran over and checked everything out with that investment. I wasn't on that investment 10 seconds. I never even saw the whole investment. Didn't have to. Didn't care about the price. I'll pay full price. Within 10 seconds, I'd heard that settling on the inside of me. And it wasn't because I loved it or liked it. It's because I heard the voice of God. And it was settled. And my friends, let me tell you something. You can live by your own thinking and get so far. Or you can live by the thinking of God that wants to speak to you. And that settling on the inside is one of the most important things that will void out all the foolish desires and all the fleshly thinking that you need. And God will bless you. Here's what you've learned today. Number one, in order for you to hear, you're going to have to want to hear. Number two, you're going to have to be somebody who recognizes that God's word as great wisdom and treat it with value. And number three, you're going to have to be a person who's going to find that settling because you've been sensitive and you have secluded yourself from the things of this world and heard his voice and got a hold of the settling. Therefore, you are prepared, number three, and that's important, to hear from God. And when you do, God will lead you where you need to go, maybe where you don't want to go, but he'll lead you how to go, and he'll meet every one of your needs, because when God guides, he provides. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.